lonely here.
Man.
That's the greatest thing ever. What you guys don't know, this is Penn Jillette. You know, Rudy is our guy in New York. He's our guy. He does a fine job. He was counting down the show.
From 10.
From 10. And he went 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 5, 4. You know, you can write those down, Rudy. You write those down. It's lonely here, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
I know. We've had all week. All week we've had people. Bob Korn Revere we had yesterday, and then we had Kiki Friedman the day before, and Chris Angel, who I pounced on like a puma.
And he just killed you. Apparently someone warned him.
Yeah, I don't know how he found out that I was going to... He was prepared, though, wasn't he?
You're a little confused about this radio thing, aren't you?
Well, I'm not...
You know, this is actually going out on the air.
I know,
people,
but I mean,
it's not just you and me with headphones talking. You and I don't need the headphones to chat.
I see. But I just thought Chris Angel was so ready when he just... And what a good guy. I was touched by an angel. I was touched by Chris Angel.
And
you're
calling an attorney? Is this a...
Yeah, it's a sexual harassment thing. But now, you know, Chris Angel, we're dating now.
That's good.
I get emails from him.
Really?
We call. Yeah. Teller was talking to him on the phone forever yesterday. Everybody.
They're like pals now.
It's just a love fest. This is so odd for me because magicians have always hated me, you know? Every magician in the world. Oh, hi. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller. Speaking of every magician in the world hating you.
Yeah,
good
Lance
morning.
Doesn't hate me.
No, he doesn't. He likes you.
He will after the show.
You think?
I got some stuff boiling.
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
But we're going to take some calls. 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. And if you can't find free on your phone, on your pad, it's 3733. That's what free would be spelled in numbers on a phone. We're at penradio@gmail.com. P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O @gmail.com. And we're at penradio.com where you can go for, eventually you'll be able to go for, I want you to put up like links and stuff. I want you, you're not doing enough work. I want you to do all HTML stuff.
All right.
But yeah, the Chris Angel thing has been going, I think we're going to do, you know, he's doing his new season of his show.
Right.
I think we're
going to
do like a big thing with him. We're going to do like a big show. We're going to do some tricks with him. And then, I wrote this, Chris Angel trick. I wrote a magic trick for our show. The punchline is Chris Angel on video.
Okay.
Although, if you know that in advance, it ruins the whole trick. So forget about this before you come see the Penn and Teller show here in Vegas. Chris liked it, and I think we're going to do the making of that trick on his TV show.
Oh, nice.
So I think from now on, it's Chris Angel and Penn and Teller.
You replace the ampersand with Angel.
It's a threesome. It's a threesome from now on.
Wow.
Chris Angel's on board. We like him. Got to get rid of the cross around his neck.
Well,
that makes me crazy. It makes me a little queasy the whole time I'm talking to him.
You want to bring some clippers or something?
He has two choices. He could take the cross off, or he could button up his shirt. But the cross is gonna hang. I mean, it's like you coming into work with a big electric chair hanging around your neck. I mean, why would you need support for the death penalty hanging around your neck? You know, it's a lot like Charlie Manson having the swastika on his forehead. It's distracting.
It's a little distracting.
And you know, Chris Angel, as you know, we're dating. He's an attractive man. He doesn't need that cross in the middle of his chest. His chest would be fine. He could hang something else there, like a Mercedes logo.
A picture of you.
Picture of me. Picture
a
me.
Locket.
A great idea. A little locket. A little bit of my hair. You know, we can put a little bit of my hair.
I didn't know this was so serious.
We're just not serious yet, but you dream. You know, you dream when you start out. It's early on. It's early on in the relationship, but I now know how to spell his name.
That's a big jump, isn't it?
A huge jump. He was wonderful.
That's probably why he's answering your mail now.
He was wonderful. Yeah. Before that, it was, you know, his email address. I had it so close. The Chris Angel show was really fun. I pounced on him like a puma, and then we went on to be friends.
Yes, he dodged it.
He didn't dodge it. He came right at it. You know, I said, do you, you know, people say you have magical powers. He said, I don't. How hard is that? It was perfect. And there's magic people writing in. There's a whole, you said you got an email from a guy who said, not all magicians hate Penn and Teller,
they don't
right?
all hate Penn and Teller, and some of them actually like Chris Angel and know it's not camera tricks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's pretty positive.
He should do camera tricks, just so you know.
You should?
Yeah.
Is that how you're going to help him in the next special?
Yes, I am. I'm going to say,
Chris, your show will be a lot easier if you do
Bewitched.
Camera tricks.
Bewitched was more successful than you'll ever be, and that was nothing but camera tricks. Mm. I guess if I were a young, hip radio guy,
Bewitched was about the content.
And magic can never be about the content.
Magic can never be about the content.
I would have said Sabrina. Sabrina, Teenage Witch.
Well, there you go.
Because, you know, people come to our show, very, very attractive women. Like women within the window that you could have sex with. They come to the show now. And they come up to me as Drell, you know, because I played Satan on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Mm-hmm. They come up to me after the show, and they say, oh, sign this autograph as Drell, please. You were Drell. I loved you when I was a little girl. And they're clearly no longer little girls. So I guess Sabrina the Teenage Witch was also on a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a long. How long was that? Like 10 years ago, 8 years ago?
I don't know.
Well, if they were 10, then they'd be 18. That would put
it work.
But I just made up two figures and then checked it with other figures.
Read it within your head, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I played Drell. And Nell Scovell, who we've talked about many times on the show. Yes. Nell Scovell, who's very, very funny. She was the writer, or maybe she was producer. I don't know what she was. She
created it.
Did she?
She created the show, okay. Yes.
She was a very big cheese.
She was a big cheese.
And so they had us on the show. I was on, Debbie Harry was on, Teller was on. That's his name. I forgot his name. He was on the show. And we did it a lot. And she had this rule. That I don't know if she really followed, but she said this once, and I believed her. She said that she didn't write any lines for me ever in Sabrina the Teenage Witch that she hadn't actually heard me say. So when I say stuff like, oh, the problems of teenagers are so interesting, which is the one that's quoted back to me.
Right.
Now, I didn't write that line, but she says I said it in regular life.
At some point.
She took it and put it in the script.
Sure.
And that was a fun show to do. And now these little girls, you know, they grow up and they come to see our show. And it's very nice.
Who knew?
They're attractive and they're pleasant.
You were banking some Satan thing there.
Yeah, well, you know, playing Satan is a cool thing because it's leading little girls down the
road. You've done it a lot, actually.
I've played Satan a lot. Two things I've specialized
in.
Yeah, I played Satan at Hell House. Is this thing they do at Halloween in Hollywood where there's this nut, this really serious whack job, who does these Halloween shows to scare children into becoming Christian.
Scared straight kind of thing.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's terrible. It's babies screaming during abortions, and it's, you know, people dying of AIDS because they need to be punished. It's just, you know, it's really, really, I mean, just dripping
in hate.
The
wrath of God,
just
Halloween.
Dripping in hate. And they bought the rights to do a Hell House.
Right.
It's like a Kentucky Fried Chicken. You just buy the
franchise
rights.
It.
It's a franchise. That's the word I wanted. I couldn't think of franchise, so I said Kentucky Fried Chicken and hope you'd jump in. And you did. You did. Damn it, you were there for me. You were there for me.
Trying.
And they bought it in Hollywood. And I was upset because they bought it at first under false pretenses, but then they fessed up. So you pay like $300 and then you own the script to do Hell House. And they do it like, I think it's a Steve Allen Theater at the Center for Inquiry. And that's where it was last year,
right.
I think. Was it last year I did it? Maybe it was the year before.
I think it was last year.
I don't know. And I think it was the year before. They act it out very, very real. They just do a Hell House. But because it's in Hollywood and because it's done by non-believers, it automatically gives it a spin. So
sure.
Andy Richter played Jesus.
Yeah.
And Andy Richter partially nude on a cross is enough to turn you away from Christianity. And I played Satan. And I had, you know, Hollywood makeup people working on me. So I had, like, you know, all red flames on my face. And I had horns. And I had these big hands, like hooves.
Hooves? Nice.
Hooves.
Hooves.
Hooves. Hooves. I had this big hands. They behooved me. And it was terrific. It was really fun. And I was really into it. And I thought it was going to be an entire cast of free thinkers, that everybody was going to be just like me, and that we were all free thinkers. But it turns out that almost everybody in the cast were Christian.
So, okay.
or at least they had this general belief in a God, but a God that wouldn't do Hell House, but a more gentle God. You know,
so it was Christians more or less making fun of other Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't this. It wasn't what I wanted, which was this fully arched thing going on. But I played Satan there, and I played Drell. Done very well for me. If you're casting, and you need someone shot straight in the head, which I've been in like three movies shot straight in the head, or you need someone to play Satan, I'm your man. You know, when you're doing the Satan thing, I just do it very naturally. 866-313-FREE. Let's take a phone call.
Why not?
Let's take a phone call.
We have a crazy one.
Line 6. How you doing?
Sure. It's Bryant.
Is it Bryant?
It's Bryant.
Hello?
Bryant.
From
Texas. Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good.
This is really cool. We didn't talk to you. I've actually seen you on Sabrina. You're really good.
Were you wearing a tight T-shirt with very nice breasts at our show the other night?
That show was on a long time ago.
Yeah.
I get a free pass.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I got a question for you. Sure. You think magician and all, and I actually have seen your bullet trick one time. It was really, really cool.
Well, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, and one day I'm gonna go over to Vegas, catch your show, and see that thing live. And
just don't work on it.
Huh?
Just don't practice the bullet catch.
Yeah.
No. Of course not.
Okay, boss. Lay it on me. What do you got?
So, you and everything. I just bought a Ouija board, and everybody is freaked out about it. I don't know why. Like, no. I personally don't believe it's real. I haven't tried it yet, but I just want to know what you think about that. Because I've tried searching online, and I can't find nothing about this thing, if it's real or not.
Well, you know, he pronounced it Ouija board instead of Ouija board.
Right.
And Ouija board is correct, I think.
Okay.
Because it's we meaning yes, and
ja
meaning ja.
Yeah.
German. So it's French and German for yes. What you're doing is it's these small motor movements. If you it's the same thing. Remember that guy was on Letterman, that psychic years ago, 10 years ago, who would do the muscle reading?
No.
Where he would you would think about where something was hidden.
Oh, sure. Hidden paycheck
hold your arm.
Thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Hidden paycheck thing. It's this really cool thing that when you think about something, if you tell somebody to concentrate really hard on the direction right, and you have their hand in a position where it's kind of floating, they will move slightly to the right. It's very hard to focus on something without moving towards it. If you're learning to play tennis, for instance, you tend to kind of do those muscles, just a slight amount, this micromuscular movement. There's another word for it that Teller knows, something movement. And so on a Ouija board, when you're holding it, you're told very clearly to put your fingers lightly on the top, and you're also
definitely
told to never fight it. And that's the important part of the directions. You're told to never fight it, which means once it gets a little bit of movement from somebody at the table, even just a little tick or a little nervous movement, everybody goes with it, or both people go with it, and they'll move it around like that. And then all you have to have is something generally in your head. So the questions you're asking, if they're yes or no.
Or a rotten friend.
Or a rotten friend. Now, most of the time, if you're in a group of people, someone is cheating. But I'm just saying, if no one is cheating, if no one's trying to do this at all, it just really works. And if you want to play around with this thing, something in a room, like a key, and tell them that not to tell you where it is, leave the room, but tell them that you need them to always think very clearly about what direction you need to go to find it. They have to do that. They have to promise to do that. Then you hold their arm, okay, and you have them hold their arm out, and you hold their arm, and you just kind of move around like crazy, and you'll find if they're always thinking, and some people are better at this than others, if they're always thinking about where that thing is hidden, the key or something in the corner, it's really spooky. If they're always thinking about that in the direction toward where you're going,
you'll be able to feel the muzzle.
It's easier to move it. It's just easier to move it, and the other place there's resistance, and the more jerky the movement, the better it goes. But all that stuff is just, there's nothing supernatural. It's just the wonder of the way the human brain works. So the answer is always, we don't know all the details of how it works, and that's one of the reasons it's such fun. But you know, you don't need to buy a Ouija board. You can just, you know, shit out of anything and then make any sort of board, as long as it slides easily. But you know, it's the same basic idea as air hockey, and air hockey's a lot more fun. Thanks a lot, boss.
Yeah, sure.
Did I answer that at all?
I don't know.
Yeah, you actually did, because everybody else believes as actual spiritual things and everything. And my mom, I'm 23.
Uh-huh.
My mom actually, she was disappointed in me when she saw I brought it, because she actually believes I'm going to bring like spirits in the house or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a huge shout. That was the best answer I've had from anybody anywhere. So yeah,
we did a BS episode on it. I think you can probably rent it somewhere.
Yeah,
oh, really?
We did an episode on it, and it's pretty interesting. What you want to do is just hold that planchette by yourself. And just see how little movement it takes to get it there, and see how just little twitches and trying to hold your hands up will make it move. And if you have something in your head, it'll go towards it. And two people doing that actually amplify instead of cancel out. It's a pretty neat thing.
Yeah.
But there are no
yeah.
spirits coming into your house
you're
unless you're stopping the liquor store on the way
home. The horror effect is... What's the Forerunner effect?
Your show that you have?
Yeah.
Is that ever going to be on DVD?
It is on DVD. You mean,
oh,
yeah, the Showtime show that
first
we can't say the name of.
Are.
Yeah, Bullshot. And it's season two.
Third will be out soon.
Season two we did Ouija, right?
Season two, yes.
Yeah, so you can you can pick that up, you know, Netflix or whatever you want to do on that.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about it there and show people that really believe in it. But there are no spirits coming into your house. Isn't it nice to be able to answer a question definitively
yeah,
like that?
That's pretty good.
Can I have one more question?
Sure, man.
Can I have your car?
I've been trying to find Aristocrats. I've never seen the movie, but I've been trying to find it at Best Buy. That's what I'm supposed to look for because I got a lot of gift certificates there. And I can't find it there. Is it in mass market?
I thought it was at Best Buy. It's certainly at Amazon everywhere.
It's at Amazon.com.
I was almost sure we were at Best Buy. I went over to whatever Hollywood Video or one of those rental places, and they had it, and it was they said it was selling very well. So it should be around, man. And if you can't, you know, Amazon or any place like that online. But thanks a lot for thinking about it, man.
Have a great day, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, boss.
Yeah, Ouija board's on season one, actually.
Season one.
Got that clear.
Season one is Ouija board. And he's a cool guy. I like that. Right. I like that. Like he called up and just said, are there spirits? It's very rarely you can answer a question like that.
Rather we can answer any question, really.
Really, very rare. Very rare. And what is the, in the case someone wants to Google search the effect that is?
Oh, Forer effect, I believe.
Spell it.
F-O-R-E-R.
F-O-R-E-R is the effect of moving in that direction. It's pretty cool. You know, that's a pretty cool party game to hold someone's arm and chase them around. I mean, I guess there are better party games.
you grew up in a bad neighborhood.
Bad neighborhood.
I was going to say, a lot of people played other games.
There's a read that pie email, the one you read me that made me laugh so much.
The mnemonic device. Sure.
Yeah, this
here,
is
someone sent in. This is from Carlton.
Carlton
sent us in, and he said, if you're trying to remember, numbers for pie, the way to remember is the first few digits by counting the number of letters in each of the following words. So it's a mnemonic sentence. How I want a drink. Alcoholic, of course, after the heavy lectures involving quantum mechanics. So if you count up those letters, how,
but
three,
wait a minute. First of all,
I,
first
one.
Of all, you have to memorize that.
How I want a drink,
alcoholic, of course, after
the heavy
lectures on quantum
involving quantum mechanics. This is the worst mnemonic device I've ever heard.
Okay. So how,
H-O-W,
three,
I
is one. How I want four.
Right.
So 3.14. How
go.
I want a one. Drink, D-R-I-N-K. That's five.
Yeah, yeah.
How I want to drink. Alcoholic, of course. L-A-L-C-H-O. That's nine. Alcoholic of two. Course, C-O-U-R. Actually, I guess that would work. But
if you can remember that sentence.
Okay, let me try the sentence again. Is there a mnemonic device for the sentence?
yeah, pie. If you can remember the numbers for pie, you can
it'll help you.
Three words. And, but.
Pie, and
if doesn't
but,
work.
I. And then pen, P-E-N-N. That's
no, that
four.
Doesn't work.
Gillette, J-I-L-L-E-T-T-E. That's eight. Michael Goudeau. And we'll be back after this on Free FM. We get it.
Did you see the email we got this morning about you playing bass?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they want me to play bass on this show from England. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll play bass.
Paul the Mailman.
Paul the Mailman? Is that what it's called?
I think it's Paul the Mailman.
Postman.
That seems cool.
Nothing to do with the Kevin Costner movie.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they asked me to play bass on that. That's cool. I don't know if he's still listening, but I'll do that. I'll play bass.
That seems fun, doesn't it?
I told Crasher to set it up. Yeah, because, you know, it's for preschool kids. So now I'm just crazy for doing preschool stuff.
Can't wait to be on the Wiggles.
My daughter, you know, she's 8 months old, so Disney asked me to do a preschool voice of a magician or something, and I said yes to this. All the stuff I wouldn't normally do, but I just like the idea of being able to say to my daughter, that's Daddy playing that creepy little... I've also been asked to do this new cartoon series. I've been asked to do the voice of Muhammad. Now, is that going to be dangerous at all? They're doing the animated series. Yeah. It's called Muhammad or Dynamite Head.
But it's going to be like maybe like the Wizard of Oz.
A lot like the Wizard of Oz.
He's always going to be behind the curtain.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't see him.
I'm going to do that part. That's when you don't hope your voice isn't that recognizable. We got Paul. I have no idea what this call's about. We have Paul on line 5, New York, if you want to pop that on. How you doing, Paul?
What's up, Penn? How you doing?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
I'm calling in because, just going back to when you were talking about Hell House.
Yeah.
I went to a private Christian school in North Carolina growing up where on Halloween, they had something called Judgment Night. And it was similar in that there was, of course, a horrible, horrific hell portion meant to sort of persuade people to convert. But before, how it works is you would first walk through this this convention center. There was a lot of space at the school, and you'd walk through this first part.
South Carolina.
Not a lot of people wanted to put a lot of time and effort into the heaven portion. First, you'd walk through heaven and see how wonderful and beautiful it is. And then, secondly, you'd go through hell and see how horrific, and that's the destiny you have lying in wait for you, right?
Yeah,
it sort of backfired in everybody's faces, and a lot of people thought it was very funny. And in the end, the administrators had to pull the whole program in its entirety because... no one that was at all interested in the heaven portion. Everybody wanted to dress up like demons and ghouls and goblins, spray each other with blood, scare the living crap out of each other. I mean, it was hysterical. And I mean, now look at me 15 years later. I'm an agnostic. Go figure.
Thanks so much, Paul. That's great.
Love you, Pat.
Thanks, man.
You know, this brings up another issue that comes up a lot, which is people who don't believe in God. You know, Paul calls himself agnostic, but also atheist or non-theist or bright or whatever you want to call yourself, mm-hmm. but a person who doesn't believe in the supernatural. They often end up, and you get backed into this corner, and Renee wrote about this to us. You get backed into this corner of acting like you're a Satan worshiper, and really nothing is further from a Satan worshiper than an atheist. It's not like there's any sort of, you know, I used to have 666 on my license plate.
Right.
Because of bad thinking. It's really bad thinking. There's this idea that if you can anger Christians, or you can anger Muslims, or you can anger Jews, that somehow that's the thing an atheist would do. It's the same kind of thinking as the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
Which is just not true. If you do not believe in God, you do not believe in Satan. You do not believe in anything supernatural. So I used to have, you know, just for fun, I used to have some, like, you know, devil stuff around because I thought it was kind of cool and heavy metal and stuff. And now I've stopped doing that because I think it's confusing and dishonest, you know.
Sure.
No one believes less in Satan than atheists.
You know? Well, I like the idea that there would be a benevolent creator of the universe, and you believed enough to go with the other guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you've always said that.
I like that.
It's nutty that you could be, because Christians and Satanists are identical.
Yeah, there's no difference.
They believe in the same thing.
Same myths.
Same myths, same everything, but they've chosen a different side.
Satan dresses better. It's just crazy.
Or sexier. So, you know. And there's a perfect example here. If I knew sports,
sports, you could do this.
I would say it's like being a baseball fan and rooting for the Red Sox. Someone that never wins.
Right.
That's what you would do. But I don't know. I can't make that joke because I'm not a sports guy. But if I were a sports guy,
Red Sox was close.
But they just won, didn't they?
They did just win, but it had been a very long time.
You know how I know that? Mm. I know that because after the show, you know, people know I'm from Massachusetts. They're going to go, how about those Red Sox, huh? So I know they must have won. Or either that or people were taunting me. But no, and this is something, you know, I have people come up to me, like at Starbucks, and say to me, you're an atheist, right? And I say, yeah. And they say, so you believe in Satan? No. So just get that out of your system. Atheists are not Satan worshippers. Get rid of the 666 stuff. Get rid of the tattoos of the upside down crosses. You know, the American atheist symbol is a atom.
Right.
You know, it's the depiction of an atom.
Right.
Because, of course, an atom would be too hard to see. What do you got there? Oh, I got the symbol of the atheist around my neck. I can't see anything. Oh, it's an atom. That's all. I keep this atom right here.
It makes me a little itchy, but other than that, it's okay.
It's just an atom. It's the symbol of an atom, the old-fashioned symbol.
Yes, the old-fashioned.
Kind of looks like a solar system type.
Sure.
With a little A in the inside, which, which stands for American. American. Atheist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whatever country you have, like I would be an Indian atheist and so
on.
B.
Belgium.
Belgian atheist. Sure.
Let's see if we can do all of them.
Now, it looks, I want to change the subject here. It looks like the Patriot Act will be renewed after the White House has agreed to significant changes in the legislation.
Yeah.
For one thing, libraries will deny requests. Sorry, I'm going to start again. For one thing, please. Libraries which deny requests for information will no longer face criminal prosecution.
That's good.
They'll be burned to the ground. Robbie Libman wrote that. I thought it was great. I would not have said Robbie Libman wrote it unless I'd screwed it up, but it wasn't funny. Now that it's not funny.
You were willing to take full credit up until the last
full credit until I stumbled
you
over.
You want to try again?
Then give it to Robbie. I'll try another Robbie one.
Okay.
This won't be Robbie until I screw it up.
Okay.
This is a rather long one. But it's also in the news. I've now jinxed it. I can't do it now.
You want to skip to something else?
Yeah. No, I'll try it. I'll try it. Okay.
Go for it.
This is the way Robbie wrote it. I'll try it. This is my reading out loud skills. For the first time, President Bush supplied details of the foiled terrorist plot to strike Los Angeles. Al-Qaeda members were to hijack a plane, detonate a shoe bomb inside the plane, fly the plane into a really tall building, build a big wooden horse and hide in it, then tie a wallet to a string and leave it on Melrose Avenue sidewalk. Bush praised the Department of Homeland Security for preventing the attack, repeating the department's official motto, "Fool me once, and I'll make sure you can't fool me in precisely the same way again." And there, in that Robbie Libman joke, which I set up as a joke and therefore couldn't work for comedy because I already told him, tell the one to get to the other side, in that derailed joke of Robbie's, there's a very important point, which is nobody is going to use a plane for terrorism again. Because Homeland Security told them, you know, is protecting us. It's because the reason it worked the first time was we weren't expecting it.
It was a good plan.
It was a fine
really
plan.
The horror of it. But, you know, if you hijack a plane now, I don't think everyone's going to sit in the back and wait to fly to Cuba.
But
I think you're going to be attacked and killed by grandma.
That was the right thing to do. That was the right thing. I mean, that used to be what hijacking
used to be the right
did.
Thing to do, and now
sure.
you can't
and now
do
it's not.
You
now
no
it's
longer
not.
Make
and the,
that assumption.
The rugby players knew that right away. By the third plane, they already knew enough to take them down. And right now, yeah, grandma's going to fight to the death.
Exactly.
You don't need the metal detectors. You don't need anything. It'll just, you know, my idea for security, okay, is that all you have to do, there's no lines, nothing. When you get on the plane, you show your ticket. Right?
Okay.
And then you have to eat a piece of bacon, and then you are. Because really, in every nut religion, anything homosexual and anything to do with pigs, you know, eating pigs,
right.
is absolutely forbidden. So you could just do that. You know, I'm not saying, you know.
Between those two, you could clear out all of the
clear out everybody.
Terrorists.
And
sure.
just those of us who have no problems with anything, you just go, nice piece of bacon, little kiss. Not sex. Not sex, mind you. Little kiss. Just to show I'm not freaked out by this. I'm not worried. And then if you do have the terrorists, they know they're going to go to hell. So, you know, because Mohammed or, you know, Allah
right.
says to them when they're dead, okay, you crashed the plane, you wiped out a few infidels, but I'm sorry, you don't get the virgins. Goodbye. So it becomes, you know, it's that risk-reward. It's just poker, okay? So Penn's bacon genital, or we just call it the bacon kiss plan.
Would a depiction of genitalia work?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a hard one.
It
was for some of the real nuts, just a woman without a veil is enough,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
But I think you'd have plenty of people volunteer to stand there, you know, and well, give out bacon. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? I didn't think that's where you were going with that.
Give out bacon? Sure. You could take a shift. You'd have to pay any government agency. And I bet some farmers, you know, would donate the bacon. I mean, that's a great press thing, you know. You know, fly our airlines and get free, you know, I don't even know a brand of bacon. Oscar Mayer, I guess. Does Oscar Mayer make bacon?
Yes.
Okay, good. See, if I'd known the baseball team and that. So that's Penn's Bacon and Kiss flight plan. Bacon and Kiss Airlines. Come here, have a slice, you know, and then you're totally safe. And then those who are vegan or those who are really freakily right. homophobic, they can go through the whole checkpoint. So it'll be a special right. airline,
okay.
hung up, tight-ass airlines. You know, you can't, oh, I don't want to see the genitals. Oh, those people could go through the whole thing. Let them go through 4 hours of waiting in line, and let the, instead of eating the pigs, let the pigs pat them down, you know? Let them have their wives felt
start
up by
own,
strangers.
Start your own discount airline.
No discount airlines, no lines, no nothing, just bacon and a kiss here on the Penn Jillette Show. Bacon and a kiss is what we offer you, and then you can fly anywhere you want. I wonder if they're going to bleep any of that. Can I say that?
I don't know. Bleep?
Well, not bleep, but take bleep. Out. Yeah. Bacon. Bacon. They're going to cut out bacon. Swinging theme. Penn Jillette here, the creator of the Bacon and a Kiss flight program, the thing that saved billions of dollars in Homeland Security, Bacon and a Kiss. And you have a few great Gmails.
Yeah, we have one. This is from Derek, and I have to say Derek is a genius. He says he never knew the effect that made Ouija board works is, to the best of his knowledge, the same effect with how you steer a Segway. Derek, you're a genius.
It's exactly
true. Exactly the same way.
You know, Amazing Jonathan has like three Segways, you know.
Yeah, what is that about?
And he has the limiter off them, so you can go much, much too fast on them.
Because that's a good idea.
He brought them over to the theater, and we were just hauling on them. They're pretty cool, the Segways. But there's no place to go on them, because if you want to go fast, you go in a car. And if you want exercise, you take a bike or, you know,
right.
walk. So a Segway really doesn't have, maybe if you work at Google or something where there's, huge hallways.
If you're working, conventions,
but
things like that.
In the regular life, I can't find a way to use a Segway, or I would buy one in a second. And you have
you
another,
loan it to me.
There's a better mnemonic device for pie.
Yeah, another. Yeah. This is from Mark. He says his is, how I wish I could remember pie.
How I wish I could remember pie.
Now, that works.
That works really well. That works really well. Of course, Jack, our producer, came in and said, but you have to spell pie that way. Yes, Jack, you have to spell the P-I, Jack. You can't spell it P-I-E, because we can all remember pie. We all remember blueberry pie. It's pie, P-I, that we have trouble with. Let's take a phone call. Stan on, I guess he's on line 6, New York, if you want to pick him up there.
Yeah,
you there,
sure.
Stan?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
What's up,
sure.
boss?
Yeah, dude, you know... Everything is cool, except I kind of took offense at your last attempt at humor there on the airplane. You know, you said that bacon basically is not relished by all these nut religions. You know, and
right.
I got Hindu friends. I'm Jewish. I got a ton of vegan friends, and you know, really, just kind of put off by that comment. You know,
no, not all non-bacon eaters are bad people, but
no,
many,
but
many bad
religion.
People
That's
are non-bacon
said.
Eaters. What's that?
You said nut religions, you know.
Yeah,
like,
nut
religions.
Don't you? What you
into this, you know, this group, you know?
Right. What I'm saying is, it's not. You know,
it's not
all
exclusive.
Men are Plato. We're not saying. I'm saying it's a subset. Well, first of all, it was a joke, so it's not going to work perfectly. But the idea of the joke was that those who don't eat bacon, there is a subset of those who don't eat bacon that is those who do that. Those who do horrible terrorist things. You dig? So I'm not talking about if you don't eat bacon, you're automatically dangerous. I'm just saying that those who are dangerous for religious reasons
quite often
don't eat bacon. So then you would have to go through with all your Hindu friends and your Jewish friends and all those friends, you'd be going through the line where you wait to have your wife felt up by pigs. And I'm not saying that everyone who doesn't eat bacon is automatically a terrorist. That would be a crazy thing to say.
Well, no, I understand. It wasn't even the fact. It was because I heard nut religion and said, what is he talking about?
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I got to tell you, I was over in Saudi Arabia during the first desert storm, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as supposedly religious all these people are, they were all trying to scam our women. Every one of them wanted us to buy them liquor off of, you know, out of our, or beer out of our commissary. And they're just all full of it, you know.
Oh, I can imagine if you're trying to hit me to the fact that some religious people are hypocritical. You don't have. I'm on that plane already.
That's exactly
without
where
even
we're going.
Eating bacon. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's another thing that we should mention, and that is that Your wife doesn't eat bacon, so you're still going through the lines.
Oh, that's right. My wife does not eat mammals. My wife can't stand the smell of bacon. I'd be still waiting in the line. I'd be standing next to you, Stan. I'd do a few card tricks for you, okay, bro?
Okay.
All right. Next to you in line. Thanks a lot for calling, man.
But at least you wouldn't be as angry in the line. You would know there were a reason for it. And the reason is your wife won't eat bacon.
Hoisted by my own petard. Hoisted by... I'll tell you, man, if that deal went through, that bitch would eat bacon.
Oh, man.
That would be a
You're
deal breaker. Just
you
a little
so
piece.
In trouble.
Just a little piece of bacon.
Turkey bacon.
No, turkey bacon doesn't work.
Oh, right.
All right.
No religious.
It's not the bacon. There's no.
Let's not
start,
the letters.
Let's start a religion right now that does not allow turkey bacon. I will write some scripture that goes with it. And in the smoke-cured flesh of that who gobbles. No gobbling flesh.
Anything with three toes.
Is that how many toes a turkey has?
Yes.
You know that?
I know that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Do all birds have three toes?
No, some birds have fewer toes than three.
Wow, you really know these.
I'm on this.
Is this like sort of kink or just a little hobby?
Yeah, well, my dad was a bird kink. A bird kink.
Did he eat
so
turkey
I was raised,
bacon?
He eats turkey bacon, yes. And raised turkeys, so.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yeah.
And so you better, you know, if you have somebody you care about, get them something.
It's time.
I think flowers are nice, but it's also on Valentine's Day is also Teller's birthday.
Yeah.
Teller's birthday. Teller will be way old. I think he's crossed over into way old.
Into way old? From just old to way old.
Way old.
You know who else?
Jack Benny.
Right. It's Jack Benny's 39th birthday.
Yeah, how cool is that? How long has Jack Benny been dead?
He's been 39 years. No, I don't know.
He's been dead a long time, right? He died, what, in the 80s?
Yeah,
he was supposed to do the Sunshine Boys, and then he died. So the Sunshine Boys were the 70s.
Yeah.
So 70s, 80s, 90s. He's been dead like 25, 30 years.
Right.
And still, the joke he did of being 39 years old.
It's out-survived.
Joke still gets a laugh. Boy,
that's
would it
really
be great.
Good.
I really would hope, like in 50 years, when someone said Jack Benny, they'd say he's 39 years old today. And that's a terrific thing.
You know, there's going to be a 39-man march in Washington.
No, there's not.
There is.
Okay.
There is to get Jack Benny put on the 39-cent stamp.
What day are they doing that?
That's on Tuesday the 14th.
Oh, cool.
Well, it's on Valentine's Day.
I probably have the whole 39 men all lined up, right?
I would guess.
No
yeah.
reason to announce that.
No reason.
Right,
they probably already have 39. It doesn't seem like that hard to track down 39.
But
it's not the Million Man March.
but since most of those marches on Washington, they inflate the numbers.
Right.
I think they'll
say 40, 42.
They went with 25.
Oh, yeah.
With 25, the media will all say it was a 39 man march. They want to pump up those numbers of discontent. They want to pump that up. So I like Stan, you know.
Yeah, Stan was good.
I like Stan. He was a good guy. I like Stan. And he was over in Desert Storm, knows more about it than we do, and doesn't want to eat bacon. Although I got to tell you, man, bacon is good.
It's the candy of meats.
Bacon is the candy of meat. You know, Ron Gomes.
There's a Bacon of the Month Club.
Yeah. You were just. That's what I was going to say.
Sorry.
There's a Bacon of the Month Club.
I didn't mean
club.
To step on you.
No,
go
that's
ahead.
Okay. There's nothing.
Really?
Not,
a Bacon of the Month Club?
There is,
that's
Michael.
That's so
Trudeau.
Exciting.
That's there you go. Get in your sidekick role.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
They won't send it to Vegas.
They won't?
They won't.
Why not?
It's
too hot?
Too hot.
Have you tried to join the Bacon of the Month
Club? I've tried to join the Bacon of the Month Club. It's too hot here. They won't put bacon in my mailbox.
Well, see, Ron Gomes.
It would be cooked. I thought it would be perfect.
Ron Gomes, you know, our dear friend Ron Gomes in Jersey.
Yes.
Ron Gomes is a member of the Bacon of the Month Club, and I asked him how it was,
mm-hmm.
and he said the problem is that thick cut and maple is always the best. So all you're doing is waiting for the months that's thick cut and maple so you can have your bacon. And we know that would be part of what you do. Maybe the Bacon of the Month Club would sponsor, Bacon and a Kiss Airlines.
Bacon Airlines.
I think there's money to be made here. Although I think the FAA gets involved and the U.S. Patriot Act probably has a provision that says, because in the U.S. Patriot Act, all the people voting on that are homophobic freaks, right? So I like that I was very happy that Stan did. He was swinging with that. Totally cool. And that's the hip part. You don't want anybody to be homophobic. Not liking bacon is one thing, but not being willing to kiss another human being, that would be bad. That would be evil. Jack Benny's 39th birthday. You know, I wanted to get into this whole thing on. We had a Gmail that asked us if we ever met the people that we did on Bullshot.
Sure.
After we did the show.
Yeah, this guy wants to know.
What did we say?
Yeah, I said the Rodeo Cowboys. You mentioned that the Rodeo Cowboys loved you because of the PETA episode.
Rodeo Cowboys did like me. And, you know, that's the thing. Every time I decide there's a group of people that I don't like, you know,
right.
Not the Rodeo Cowboys were that, but people that wouldn't like me would get along.
That they wouldn't like you.
It's so wonderful when they just go, yeah, PETA, that's great.
Right. Well, this guy wants to know if you've run into anyone after their episode has aired. He says, such as David, the feng shui guy. Feng shui.
Well, that's funny he picks that example because I did not. But Mark Wolper,
right.
Who's the producer.
The big boss.
The big cheese. He was in pitching a show to some network, and I don't want to get the details wrong, so I'll just make them up instead. He was pitching some show at a network, and there waiting to pitch in line was David, the feng shui guy, the guy that that said, you know, still looks
the room
awful.
Still looks like meh.
Yeah,
I remember.
And the guy who was just, you know, the feng shui
right.
guys. I mean, that was really a fish in the barrel episode. I mean,
yes.
That is such bullshit. That is such jive. There's nothing to it. And this guy was so cynical. And he came off in our show, I think, as badly as a person can come off, right?
Pretty badly, yes.
Yeah. And he sees Mark Wolper. Was it Star? Was it Star Price he saw?
I don't remember who.
Might
I haven't
Star.
Heard this.
Sounds more like a Star story. I don't know. And Star Price is our director, who didn't win the Directors Guild,
because yeah.
It's all fixed. It's all politics. They're all a bunch of bacon eaters.
Yeah, we didn't win the Writers Guild either.
You didn't win the Writers Guild either.
No. I was there.
But we've been nominated. Hey, it's enough to be nominated.
Man, you spit all the way across the table when were so excited about being nominated.
Get very excited, you know. That's the point. You need a big guard up here.
Something.
We need to have this set up like a prison, so we're on either side of a guard, and we just hold our hands up
that's
like
right.
this, you know, a touch.
Sure.
Just, I love you, man. I love
you're
you.
You're doing
man.
A great job.
The lawyers are doing a great job, man. You know, I assume that you're on the inside.
Thank you.
And he bumped into David. And it was kind of like trying to hide his head. Of
right.
course, we don't know whose head it was that we were hiding. Either Stars or Wolper's.
Or Price.
And they were kind of, you know, he's really nervous that this is going to be a confrontation, you
right.
know?
Sure.
And David comes over to him and goes, oh, that was great doing Penn & Teller's show. That was
that's what gave him an idea to pitch, probably.
Oh, man. And that's when you realize, you know, amazing Randy, James Randy, my biggest hero in the world,
yes.
who I want to just say quickly is doing well in the hospital.
He
had
good.
A little
okay.
bit of a heart
he
problem.
Had
it was on a little bit of the news, and it was on the webpage. Had a little bit of a heart problem, but he's doing well. They had to shave his beard down a little bit, but he's doing great.
Uh-oh.
I know. There's going to be hell to pay for that.
Oh, boy.
But Randy's doing well. Randy once told me about the religious freaks and the psychics that there are some basic rules. If they win, they win. If they tie, they win. If they lose, they win. You know, David on the Feng Shui show,
right.
you know, we did everything we could to show the truth of Feng Shui, which is
right.
that it doesn't exist. Did everything we could to drag him down, and he's really happy he was on TV. He probably has more business than he would ever have.
Yeah,
and the question, why do people do your stupid bullshot show, is that. If you come on disagreeing with
that's
us,
right.
You still get more business. That
yeah,
crazy... crank woman that I hated so much, who did the, you know, all the euphemisms for
right.
profanity, which
sure.
of course we're now doing that we're on the radio.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs>
Fearing not
Santa Vaca.
Santa Vaca. She wanted to do Holy Cow that way. Santa Vaca. She said her website got more hits than she'd ever gotten before
right.
after that. And all the reaction was positive. So it's all a positive thing.
There you go.
So that's what we're doing. We're kicking a dachshund uphill. We are fighting a losing battle. But please, listen here carefully. When I start Bacon and a Kiss Airlines, I'm hoping you'll all come out and fly with me. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, with Michael Goudeau. We're here on the free FM, and we're here all the time saying whatever pops into our head, because that's the way it should be. Marketplace of ideas. Tom Jefferson stole that idea from us.